Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Fatima Mendez at United Nations headquarters in New York. On November 25th, the United Nations celebrates the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. In this week's program, we'll be reporting from the official ceremony to mark the day here at UN headquarters. And two activists discuss the important issues of sex trafficking and female genital mutilation, which affect millions of women around the world. It's time to take collective action to end violence against women and girls for good, at every level of society across the world. That's the emphatic message delivered by UN Chief Antonio Guterres on Wednesday at an event to mark the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. This event launched 16 days of activism to end violence against women. The Secretary General said every woman and girl had the right to a life free from violence, while more than one in three are victims of a violent act at some point in their lives. Matt Wells reports. All rise up, high like the
waves, all rise up. Broadway star Emily Bautista delivered a powerful message to open the official commemoration event at UN headquarters in New York. UN Chief Antonio Guterres, along with many in the room, wore a symbolic orange scarf to support the hashtag Orange the World campaign against gender-based violence. He said women's rights activists were being targeted at alarming levels, while violence against women politicians was impeding progress on a whole range of human rights issues. Horrifying sexual violence in war zones showed no signs of abating, while there was increasing evidence that violence against women and girls was linked to violent extremist ideology and terrorism.
This violence, the most visible sign of pervasive patriarchy and chauvinism, directly impacts women's physical and psychological health. It affects all families, communities and societies. The recent emergence of reports detailing sexual harassment in the workplace from many organizations and institutions worldwide shows how pervasive this form of sexual violence is.
The head of UN Women, Phumzile Mlambo Ngouka, spoke about the importance of the Secretary-General's addition of a target, ending violence against women by 2030. She said that this is not open-ended. There has to be an end, she said. Ms. Mlambo Ngouka also discussed the meaning of this year's theme, Leave No One Behind.
This means especially paying attention to the least visible victims and survivors of violence.
She discussed how violence usually takes place hidden but in plain sight, normalised so it's hardly noticeable and becoming a part of everyday life. She lauded women that summon their courage, as she put it, to expose powerful men who prey on the less powerful.
A culture of entitlement where there are no consequences for sexual crime has left many women tormented in silence. Sanctions and accountability are critical for behavior change and for the coming generations to be re-socialized in a different way so that they know that this is not acceptable.
The event was summed up by the UN chief's final statement.
Dear friends, violence against women is fundamentally about power. It will only end when gender equality and full empowerment of women will be a reality. I hope we are now seeing unprecedented momentum towards empowering women and achieving gender equality across the board and across the globe. It is time for united action from all of us so that women and girls around the world can live free from all forms of violence. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for your solidarity. And do everything you can to make our goals become a reality.
Matt Wells, United Nations.
At the event celebrating World TV Day held at UN headquarters in New York this week, actress Serinda Swan spoke on the importance of integrating entertainment with philanthropy as a way to spotlight important issues. She has raised awareness of sex trafficking by having her TV character in the U.S. drama series Graceland sold into slavery. Ms. Swan spoke to Liz Gafidi.
The show is called Graceland. I played a DEA agent, and because drug trafficking is the number one criminal enterprise in the world, and human trafficking is the number two, I felt like I had a good leg to stand on when I talked to my producers and said, hey, look, my character would be very well versed in this issue, seeing that a lot of the time it goes hand in hand, and I would like to see my character sold into a sex trafficking ring so that our viewers really get to understand what happens to these girls, not only where they come from, but also what happens when they land here in the U.S.,
How did you learn to portray the role?
I watched a documentary on anti-sex trafficking that just sort of blew my world apart. I had no idea what was going on, these sort of atrocities that were happening. In some countries, the average age a girl is sold is 13, and she has a 3-year life expectancy. And I hopped on a plane, I went to Cambodia, Malaysia, and Thailand, and started talking to the victims and started talking to rescue shelters and saying, how can I help? So I started a fundraiser. I've cycled across Cambodia to raise awareness. I throw myself out of a plane every year to raise funds and awareness. And then the next step was being able to bring my work into it. So it was, yeah,
you I did. You threw yourself out of a plane.
12 times. Yeah, we jumped just 18,000 feet. Basically, the concept behind it is choose one day out of the year to face your fears, to represent the 1.2 million women and children that get sold into sex trafficking every year and have to face their own fears. When you actually see it on a feed and you see your best friend or a colleague as their face is flapping through the wind, you're like, what are you doing? And then there's this story of why they're doing it. Everybody writes, I care, on their hands. So as they're falling, they put their hands up. Because a lot of the women that I spoke to in Cambodia said they feel invisible.
Sounds like that documentary really sparked your activism.
Yeah, I think school teaches you the capacity of your brain, but I think it really misses out on teaching you the capacity of your heart. I think that I was educated on an issue that matters, and I showed up. I was told what was happening to girls like me and boys, and I went, that is not okay. We don't want to preach from our platform, but we want to find a way that entertainment can become more, and that we can use it as an educational tool as well as entertainment tool.
The slave trade in Libya, do you have anything you'd like to say about that?
Well, we have a war on the human body that we're not addressing. This is 2017. This is absolutely unacceptable.
Men should be playing a more active role in empowering women and helping to end the scourge of gender-based violence. That is the message of Ina Moja, a Malian singer and activist who suffered female genital mutilation, or FGM, when she was just 4 years old. FGM is internationally recognized as a human rights violation, and more than 200 million girls and women alive today have been cut in 30 countries across Africa, the Middle East, and Asia. Ina spoke to Christina Silveiro a few weeks ago. She begins by discussing the Spotlight Initiative.
Well, the Spotlight Initiative is an initiative from the United Nations and European Union, and it's to fight violence against women and girls, violence based on gender. And I hope that it's going to make a change in the day-to-day lives of women all around the world. And it's going to bring awareness to something that is really important in society, because people think that some kind of violence are justified. And it's really important that as a society, we all come together and rise against this kind of violence. It's not just a women's fight. It's a society issue. And so for me, performing here and being able to witness the launch of it and knowing that it's going to have a great impact on the generations that are coming. I don't have children yet, but I hope that one day I will have a girl and that she'll be able to have freedom that maybe my generation didn't have.
Now, you were performing at the launch event, and during that event there were also a lot of shared stories. Were there any of those stories that touched you particularly?
Absolutely. I heard Malala and her father speak about their relationship and her sharing her story. It's really something that always will move me. I've listened to her speak on several occasions, and it's always striking how brave she is and how, as a young girl, she knew what she wanted and she knew that she wasn't doing this just for herself, but to be a voice for a whole generation of women. And with her dad also sharing his side of the story and how he's empowering Malala and his wife and his sisters, it's really important that also men have their part to do in this fight.
One of the participants was a reformed female circumciser. How was it for you listening to her and her story?
It was moving, because she has come to the realization that what she was doing was wrong, and now she's doing everything to bring awareness to female genital mutilation and all the consequences that it can have on women's body and the consequences in their health. And for me, it was a victory to see that a woman who have been practicing female genital mutilation can change and come on the other side, and it gives me hope.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Fatima Mendes.